back on the air on this Wednesday, April 21st, 2021. 4-21-21. Scott Spears along with Glenn Copel. Don't forget today, A Progressive Life with Glenn and Dr. Ron Feynman will be on 12:10 to 1 p.m. Offbeat News and Trivia with my pal, Nate Redman, who I believe left a new, he's given us some very cool signs lately, metal old signs. Yeah, he gave us the one with the telephone, and then there's one he gave us last week, I believe. It's in the other room, but it's a very neat sign. We'll have to take some pictures of him, and we thank Nate for that. And his show's great. You know, the trivia program, people love it. I've listened to it. I hear all the call-ins. I think he does a great, great job. And Nate's a very, Nate to me is, and this is a compliment if you know me. He is the embodiment to me of what a Cincinnati broadcaster used to be when Midwestern Hayride ruled down there.
And, never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, well, you know what? Listen, here's the point. And I'm going to make the point here in a second. Marianne Radio in the beginning, if you go back to the beginning, what the most popular thing on WMRN in the 40s when they started was a Saturday night country western show called the Chuck Wagon Pals.
Oh, cool.
And that funded that station for, it wasn't the news, it wasn't the talk shows, it was that. And what Nate, I think, brings, his show is never political. I can't remember him ever having a guest on. It's not about the guests. It's not about Hollywood. It's not about any of that. It's about, he talks about, he has the woman's corner, and he does recipes, and he does, this is what I'm planting, and he talks about his wife, and people call in and say, this is what I'm having for dinner tonight. You know, it's the Midwestern Hayride Chuck Wagon Pal, very smart, in my opinion, programming, and he's got that neck, and I give him all the credit in the world for that.
Excellent. Now, I've listened only occasionally when I'm out in the car, and his show is on. I love that. I love people that do shows like that, as long as you can keep it fresh. It's a little tough to talk about gardening all the time.
And I can tell that his callers like him.
Yeah.
You know, they are never confrontational, and it's, hey, Nate. And one thing he does that I'm always very impressed with is he remembers their names.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Now, you know what? Even as a teacher, I've never been good at that.
Me either.
I don't know why. Now, I know some people who call in here, I know their name, but most of them, I don't. Now, it's not because I don't care. It's because I think I'm thinking about other things, but Nate does pay attention because I think he thinks of his show as more of a
community.
Yeah, I don't want to say family because I don't think that's it, but it's more of a it's a pattern. Mm-hmm. It's like Tradio used to be. You know, the same people call. I hosted Tradio for 5 years, Saturday edition, and the same people called in every day.
Yeah,
so you got to know them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think Nate's great. So, 4:10 to 5 p.m., Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redman.
Okay. I will...
How about that plug?
I mean, that's a monster plug.
And when I say Glenn's show, when I say A Progressive Life, I said it stinks, but try to listen to
yeah,
it.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. I would say you and the good doctor, Dr. Feynman.
Yeah, well, we try to... We just do the progressive side of things, and we allow the non-progressive side to rear its head if it wants to. But usually, I
don't know if the doctor's listening or not. I know that
sometimes he does.
Well, I know he'll talk about Walter Mondale today.
Well,
because even back in the days when he used to be on with Adam, and I think Adam has this fascination too. They have it with older politicians. And okay. I don't know, nothing wrong with it, but and especially when they die. I remember a lot of attention being paid when Barbara Bush died, when H.W. Bush died. I hear Dr. Feynman bring up quite a bit how old Jimmy Carter is and how well he looks, and I just think that we'll hear today from... about Walter Mondale,
well,
which is, you know...
That's fine, and I don't mind bringing up older politicians. That's kind of what I did with the thing that we were doing about presidents. When why am I forgetting? This is a senior moment. He's going to be on with me this weekend.
Fred Mullins.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Fred. Fred was doing a show with me for about two months where he talked about all the interesting things around the inauguration of the presidents. And, you know, old politicians, there's a lot of interesting stuff because you inevitably compare them to the current ones or the recently current ones, and it makes politics more speak to people, I guess. But
and he was a vice president and a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
And Mondale.
Right. And ran for, president. Yeah,
lost by the biggest margin in the history.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Reagan won 49 states, and he won one.
Well, the good thing about that is I can always say when I ran for state representative, I won more percentage of the vote than he did.
Well, he made horrible mistakes. Number one, told people he was going to raise their taxes.
Yeah.
And
even if it's true, you shouldn't say it, right?
It's fine to say it, but when you end up losing, you have to understand why you did. And Ferraro,
Read My Lips also was the downfall of him,
but also got him elected the first time.
Yes, the first time it did.
Yeah, and then you had Ferraro, who was the first woman to be put in that position, so that certainly probably didn't help.
Right,
and then to find out she had all these financial picadillos was not helping him. And I think a lot of people really did want Gary Hart that year, but he'd been taken out, so the people who were all in love with Gary Hart probably didn't fall in love with Walter Mondale.
Did we ever find out how bad that was, Gary Hart?
I don't think it would be considered that bad now.
I don't either.
But then it was.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And then also he had the tar of Jimmy Carter on him, who left as a one-term president and was not very popular. So, you know, Walter Mondale had a lot of things working against him. And also, Reagan was extremely popular.
Yeah.
And he was a sitting president.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've never understood why, especially since we have so many Americans who claim to be Christians. I had never understood why Jimmy Carter was not held up as, because he lives his religion. He is very Christian. Why did he not get more props? I think people thought that he was weak, and that, and yet he was kind of lost because of the Iran, because of the Iran problem and the people that were taken hostage, and the Republican Party in that case came out very much opposed to it, and then did their own Iran.
Well, let me tell you my synopsis on Jimmy Carter.
Okay,
he's lived a long time.
Yes.
So there's that. When you live a long time, history has a long time to be rewritten.
Right.
And number two, he was a one-term president, so I think he has the longest out-of-term presidency
that would
there's ever been.
Yeah.
Out-of-term, former president. So there's that. I think if you look at the 4 years he was in office, really, with a really keen eye, I have talked to reporters who covered him very seriously in Washington, and people who knew him very well who did not like him. And I think he was an engineer, and he wanted to do everything himself, and he was hands-on.
I think a lot of presidents are that way.
Okay. Well, but I think he was to a really heavy degree.
Okay.
And I think he came in, and he tried to bring all these people in from his state, Hamilton, Jordan, who had no idea what to do in their jobs, which created more problem for him. And then I think that by the time he was going out, Ted Kennedy primaried him. A Kennedy. He just was not liked within his own party. He had a rap on him that he was not a good socializer. He couldn't mingle with the Congress. He couldn't deal with the Senate. Not only did Republicans not like him, but the Democrats really didn't like him. When Ted Kennedy primaries you in the middle of your presidency, Kennedys are the gold standard of Democratic politics in those days. And had he not been involved in Chappaquiddick, he probably would have beat Jimmy Carter in a primary. Jimmy Carter got in because Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon, period.
Yeah, well, I would say you're right on that. But I still think that people are hypocrites when they say, I'm a devout Christian, but I didn't like Jimmy Carter. Because Jimmy Carter truly is a devout Christian in his own method. Now, he may have had a lot of problems, but I can't remember whether I voted for him or not. I doubt
moral,
that I did.
A moral guy, I don't think anybody's saying
morality,
he wasn't.
Yeah.
But he made silly mistakes.
Your ears must be...
my ears must be crooked today.
They must not like that, the headphones.
He made very silly mistakes. He did... Remember the line very early on about he had lusted in his heart?
Yeah.
And he really had this goofball family who wanted
Why
to be...
Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, do you remember his family? Do you remember his mother?
Oh, Billy?
Billy, who was out there trying to make every dime off the presidency that he
Including
could.
Billy Beer?
Billy Beer. And his mother, what was her name? But she was...
It wasn't Rosalind.
No, but she was... That's his wife.
Yeah.
But she was... His mother was very eccentric and treated reporters very badly and things like that. And then... his wife, Rosalind, for whatever you think of her now, what was her platform?
I don't remember
exactly.
Well, I don't think back then. I don't think a lot of first ladies had a platform.
Well, she was following Betty Ford,
and Kennedy, his wife had a very big platform.
Yeah, but I mean, she followed Betty Ford.
Yeah,
Betty Ford had a big platform.
Yeah. Stay out of rehab.
Well, created a rehab that people are still using to this day, and also was the first...
she created it because she had to create it. I mean, she was...
Well, she didn't go there.
I thought she did go there.
No, she created it after she herself had went through rehab.
Okay, but she didn't go to her own rehab.
No.
Okay,
no.
I thought she had.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you know, one of the things you're talking about is that...
But also what she did for cancer.
Yeah.
She was the first lady to talk about having a mastectomy and all of that sort of thing.
Well, we're always rewriting history as soon as some president dies. I agree with you on that. I'm sure we rewrote history about Lincoln when he passed away, and just now are starting to really learn some of his peccadilloes.
Well, I don't know. I saw an interview Jerry Ford gave back in the early 90s the other day, and I did watch it because he's fascinating because he was on the Warren Commission that investigated the Kennedy assassinations. He was the only president never elected. He was the vice president who was never elected. He did lose to Carter. There were a lot of stuff that went on during Jerry Ford's days.
Mm-hmm.
Vietnam wrapped up under Jerry Ford. And it's interesting because he, by all accounts, I think was a decent guy.
Yeah, I think he was too.
And he and Carter, after they both were out of office, did a lot together.
Yeah, still are.
Well, Ford died.
Till Ford died.
Yeah. But you know what? Same thing happened, which I never would have thought, with H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. When they were out of office, they started doing a whole lot together.
Well, I find it quite interesting how... All those presidents have, what are there still left? Five? Is it five that are still
what
left?
What do we got? We got Clinton, Obama, Biden, Trump, and Bush.
Yeah. All five of those seem to have found a way, and recently Bush has really gone that way, where they're saying Bush has really come out against his own party for being so... he's come out against his own party, but they've all found a way to... Support
Carter, six. Carter's still alive.
It was, support. They found a way to support each other and each other's parties. And I think it's probably 3-3, isn't it? Democrats and Republicans. It's close. I mean, it's not all Republicans or all Democrats. Okay, 4-2.
Yeah.
I like that we can, that those guys can shake hands. Well, yeah. I don't think Trump will ever be invited
to
that party.
I don't think Jimmy Carter has... I've never seen anybody do anything with Jimmy Carter.
Ford. He helped raise funds for... I'm trying to remember what the thing was that all of the presidents were raising funds for. Yeah, I'll have to go back and look that up on Google.
You know, I think he, I don't know what it, but Jimmy Carter has been tarred with that for a long time. He's not usually asked to speak at the Democratic National Convention in presidential years, which former presidents usually are. It's interesting how he's been treated.
Well, yeah, and I think if he hadn't been a one-term president, it might have helped.
Maybe.
I mean, on that particular...
But W. Bush isn't asked to go to the Republican convention either, or has it in the last couple of years. Well, and he was a two-termer.
Well, he actually spoke... He's spoken out against the Republican Party under Trump pretty critically.
There are certain people who don't have a long history, and Jimmy Carter is one of those.
And it didn't seem like either one of those guys, Carter or Bush, give a furry butt. they both, I don't think they're in it for politics anymore. Bush is a avid painter, and I was watching him be interviewed yesterday or 2 days ago, and the interviewer said, "Oh, you do such a wonderful job in your painting." And I'm thinking, gosh, those are the ugliest paintings I've ever seen.
But you didn't care for his
paintings. No, I'm not a big fan of his paintings.
Well, you know, there are certain people who do stay political, and Bush and
yes,
Carter seem not to.
Yes, yeah.
But certainly Clinton and Obama and Trump and Biden are all still very political.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope Biden stays a little bit that way.
Well, I just found his conversation with the Floyd family very long.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was interesting.
Did you find it offensive?
Offensive? No, no.
You said it was very long.
Yeah. It was long. I was surprised he stayed on the line with them that long.
Yeah, and I sensed that he had a lot of empathy for them, and that's why he stayed on so long.
It was just in that it was being taped.
Well,
I wonder if he knew that.
I'm sure that he knew that. I can't imagine that you're allowed to tape the president of the United States.
People throw those phones up anywhere, anytime.
That's true. Yeah.
That's the way it goes. 740-383-9944. You got anything to say? We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Why is meringue only on a lemon pie?
Because it's stupid.
You don't like meringue?
Oh, I love meringue, but it's stupid. It's a hard sugar.
Oh, it's not hard?
Well, the surface of it is
hard. It's fluffy.
And then on the inside, it's all fluffy.
Yeah.
It's trying to fool you is what it's trying to do.
Oh, I think meringue is very good, but I don't know why we don't have cherry meringue pies.
I bet they do.
Well, I don't know what country this is that they have them. It's not this country.
Maybe.
And why don't we have lemon pie?
In Traverse City, Michigan, they probably have cherry meringue pie.
No, now what about why don't we have lemon pie without meringue?
Oh, I was certain we had lemon meringue pie.
We have lemon meringue pie.
Yeah.
But why not just lemon pie like cherry pie or strawberry pie?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Which is the lattice over top of it.
Might be too much sweet. I don't know. I'm not a big pie eater.
You put meringue on it, and that makes it less sweet?
I don't know. But
oh, my.
And I'm the guy that loves pecan pie, and that's nothing but
pounds of sugar. Is it pecan or pecan?
Pecan.
Are you sure?
No. We're going to find out, though.
Oh, no. 740-383-9944. Pecan or pecan? Pistachio or pistachio?
Oh, that one. I for certain it's pistachio. Okay. I'm going to find out whether it's pecan or pecan.
Pecan or pecan?
Pecan or pecan. See, I can't even say that. So, how do you... I have a hard...
P-E-C-A-N.
P-E-C. Oh, okay. A-N. And pronouns. Let's see if it'll do this for me. There we go. Are you ready for this?
Go ahead.
Got to find where it comes out. Okay.
Pecan.
Pecan. Siri says it's pecan, so there. Meh.
You think that's right, though?
Yes.
I don't trust Siri on a lot of things.
I know. You want me to throw her out.
Why do you think she's not right?
Well, you don't trust her on poinsettia either.
Now, what is that? Poinsettia.
It's poinsettia. Yeah.
Right. Well, I agree with that.
Oh, do you? I thought you didn't agree with
you,
it.
We had a discussion on poinsettia versus poinsettia. I said poinsettia.
Okay. I'm not sure what I said. I usually say poinsettia just the way you said it. There was another word, though, that we absolutely disagreed on. I can't remember what it was.
Caramel.
Oh, yes.
Caramel and caramel.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's caramel.
Well, it's caramel if it's spelled C-A-R-M-E-L.
But it's not spelled C-A-R-M-E-L on, like, syrup or corn or anything like that.
Okay.
I don't make these rules up. It's just the way they are.
Well, you just adjust them to fit your style.
Well, no, I don't produce the packaging for these products.
Yeah, I hope not. Yeah.
No. Wasn't Aunt Jemima supposed to go away? She's still in the grocery store.
Yes, I thought she was supposed to go away, and wasn't there another one that was supposed to go away?
They're not going away.
No.
I think that was all a bunch of hullabaloo.
Well, where in the world has the situation on the Indians, our Cleveland Indians, where is that going so far? We haven't heard of a new name that they're going to call them, have we?
Well, I thought they were going to go back to the original name.
What was the original name?
I don't remember. Did you hear about The Bachelor, though? No, I want to make sure I get that. Because I think this is funny. He was the Virgin Bachelor.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, a few years ago, he was the Virgin Bachelor.
Why would anybody want to call themselves that?
It was it got people to watch. People loved
me.
It.
I didn't because even
they wanted
the show.
They wanted to know if any of those women could take that away. So,
jeez, what a horrible premise.
Oh, you think that's why people didn't watch?
What?
You think that?
No, I'm just saying why I wouldn't watch.
In any event, years later, we now have learned that he's gay.
Well, that's why he's a virgin. But he may not be a virgin.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know what he said back in those days.
Okay. But, well, never mind.
Does anybody have any thoughts on this? 740-383-9944. We want some input from some other people.
We got to get out of here somehow.
Well, I'm just saying, I think that's very interesting that he held that in. You know, and I bet people at the network knew that. 740-383-9944.
Well, maybe that's why he was chosen. I mean, you know, I have lots of gay friends. And, well, not lots, but I have some gay friends. And I would say that women treat my gay friends a lot better than they treat me as far as relationships go. I don't know why that is. Maybe they feel less angst about dealing with men that aren't really being driven by their baser urges.
I have no idea what you just said.
Well,
what?
I think women like gay men and old men better than they like young men.
Because? Are these single
because
women?
They're, yes. And I'm not talking about romantically. I'm just saying they feel more comfortable with gay men and older men because we don't have that one thought in our head all the time. Sometimes, but not all the time.
Well, I don't know. Just because you work with somebody or are friends with somebody, I don't know that it means you like them.
I don't know where that came from.
Well, because I guess what I'm confused about is you say younger women prefer gay men or older men to be around because younger men would have something on their mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. But is that how you choose your friends? People you're attracted to?
No, you choose your friends by people that you're comfortable with.
Right.
And that's, I think a lot of women are more comfortable with a man that isn't constantly thinking of...
Right, but are all men attracted to every woman? Mm-hmm. See, I can't see that.
Well... Let me. I am going to really cast
this. This is going to be your opinion.
This is on your
opinion, but it's not my opinion.
Right. I always thought about that
everyone
when I was young. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone.
Well, not every single one. Mrs. Santa Claus, I didn't think that about.
She was the only exclusion in your list.
Mrs. Bugs Bunny.
What about Mrs. Butterworth?
No.
No. Okay. Well, see, that's what I'm saying. You know, some people you just don't have that feeling toward them.
Okay. But I think a lot of young men don't know where that borderline is.
It's possible.
Yeah.
If somebody's married, you should certainly pay attention.
Oh, I think there are a lot of young men and women that have no concern about the borderline between married and unmarried.
Well, they're going to get in trouble.
Oh, yeah, and I think they should.
Yeah. But you don't want to mess around with that.
No, I wouldn't.
No.
At 74, I certainly wouldn't.
No, but people, you know, doesn't the marriage have to be in bad shape, though, for that to happen?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think it does. I think it does because if
off you, the air, I'll talk to you about some friends. So
no, yeah. I'm just saying that I'm you can repair your marriage, I think.
Okay.
But I'm saying that if you allow somebody else in, there's clearly something not perfect in the relationship you're in.
Do you really think marriage is a perfect relationship? Maybe that's why you're not married.
That's the point. That's the point. Is that, you know, sometimes it's pretty close to it that you would not, because you would be worried about hurting your wife or husband if you did this. But if you've reached the point where you no longer care or something else has overwrought you, there's a problem there.
Oh, yeah, but there's problems in every... I've been married 51 years, and I have a problem about once a week with my wife, and we have a yelling problem about once every quarter.
But I think that's different than the problem to where you would no longer care about their feelings.
You know, because there are times I could give no concern about my wife's feelings when I'm really mad at her.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And vice versa.
Well, exactly. But I'm saying there are marriages that don't have that.
You mean good marriages or bad marriages?
I don't know. I wouldn't judge anybody's marriage. I'm just saying.
Oh, you can judge mine.
No, but there are marriages where that never does happen. That because the people are very mellow, they don't get into fights over stuff like that. So they don't end up getting that animosity. You know, Phil Donahue recently wrote a book on marriage, and I was talking to him about this, and he said he thought the key to marriage was you both have to really want to be married, and you have to be willing to concede on things
Absolutely.
At times.
Absolutely.
And if you're not, if you want to go to war over everything to the point of where you're so angry with that other person that you don't want to talk to them and you don't care about their feelings anymore, you know, not everybody does that.
Well, I think anymore we've made it way too easy just to dump somebody. Even divorce, you can get no-fault divorces and stuff like that. Don't cost you a thing. So why did you even get married to start with? But one of the reasons my wife and I have stayed together is not because we're so much moon-eyed in love with each other, but we both respect each other. She actually thinks... what I say is, well, sometimes she even thinks I'm funny. Not most of the time. But she thinks what I say, I've thought through. And I'm the other way around. But don't you believe that in a marriage or any relationship, there is always one person that's a little bit more beholding to the other person?
You mean likes them better?
Yeah.
Well, probably. But because
that can change, by the way.
It might.
It did in my marriage. When I married my wife, I was so amazed that she would marry me that she had all the upper hand. Now, I think I may have an edge there. Not a big edge.
No, but you know, I often think, though, you got to brush some people off in your life. And I think that's a good move, you know?
Yeah, but don't get married and then brush the person off.
Brush them off early.
You're going to know. You've been through it. I know you have. And you knew early that it wasn't going to work, right? Well, it wasn't even that early. But you knew it wasn't going to work.
Well, sure. Because, you know, but you see, I don't have any animosity toward those people.
Right, yeah. And that's a great way to end something. I mean,
now, they might have it toward me.
I doubt it. You're a nice guy.
Well, I don't know. Depends on who's writing the narrative.
I just saw your head get bigger. I'm sorry.
No.
Nice guy.
You got to read some letters that come around, flow around. There are some letters. But no, I really don't. Why would I be angry at somebody? Really, what does that do?
I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, one of the reasons we get along, I think, is because I can be angry with you and you can be angry with me, and we aren't angry because you're angry.
I think I said this earlier because I was talking about this radio station and people being friendly with each other. And I really don't know of any real animosity that anybody has with somebody else. I think anybody would talk to anybody at a certain point.
At this station, for sure. Yeah.
But I also know that there are disagreements that people have, and I know there are different points of view that people hold. But I honestly, I have never been angry with anybody. Now, I've questioned things people did. I've thought to myself, well, where is that person? Or why did they? Why are they doing? Now, that's different than being angry. Being angry, I've never been angry at anything anybody said.
I'm trying to remember if I've ever been angry. I've been angry at my wife. That's the only person I've ever really been. Well, I was angry at the guy that stabbed me.
That's a good reason to be angry, I think.
Speaking of that, boy, this is really a change, but it brought up something I wanted to mention. Did you watch the confrontation with the young lady that was killed yesterday, I believe it was, in Columbus?
Well, yeah, but let people know what we're talking about.
Okay. In Columbus, there was a fight amongst teenagers, and a young lady who was threatening another young lady, and we're not quite sure which side started the threatening, but they were having a fight, and the police pulled up, wanted to stop the fight, and all of a sudden, there's a gun pulled, and this young lady, I think she's 15, 16, something like that, they shoot her and kill her, unfortunately. That's why I believe we ought to put that laser or taser on the dominant side. At first, I thought that is absolutely horrible. Why did the cop just pull out a gun and blast her? Well, if they put it in slow motion, you can see that she's actually lunging towards somebody with a knife in her hand when he shoots. So, you know, you gotta give it to the cops that he saw that. That's pretty amazing. But anyway, I wanted to bring that up because it's a sad time for the people in Columbus to even have it hit Columbus, the murders. You know, we're averaging over a mass murder every day this year.
That's crazy. Well, people are angry.
Yeah, they are.
People are angry. People are
sick,
cooped up, and people are willing to do whatever they've got to do.
I'm not going to blame it on cooped up. I
don't know. I think that has affected people's minds.
It gives you spring fever. It also gives you angst in the middle of the winter that you can't get out. But we've gone through those things and not have mass murders because we want to go out in the snow.
No, but I think the combination of it, a lot of people have lost their job.
Yes,
a lot of people have lost their home because of it. A lot of people have had to do something that they don't feel is right. A lot of people are skeptical of this vaccine, and now they've had that fed into them because of the Johnson & Johnson episode with the blood clots, and I think people are very, very edgy, and then in the midst of it, you know, you still can't go do certain things.
But most of these shootings are by young males, or police. We've had both. This one in Columbus yesterday was a young female, but most of them are by young males that have aren't really worried about where their next job is going to come from, and they're just nuts.
Well, no, I think normal crime would continue to go on, but I have seen people do things that I don't think they normally would have done if we were under a normal time.
Grab some toilet paper and clean yourself up.
Yeah, there's that was an oddity in this whole thing. It was an oddity for people to lose jobs that were very good jobs. It was an oddity to work from home. It was an oddity to have your kids at home for so long that normally trying to teach your kids when you never thought you'd have to do that.
Put on your big boy pants and learn.
Well, it's easy to say that for a lot of people.
It's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do, and it did bring a lot of people to the point of exhaustion.
Yeah.
And it's not right that they did something bad because of it, but, you know, they did.
I don't understand why it seems to be so predominated by young males. Why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think it probably has something to do with why do young male animals, why are they so mean And young male animals are mean, especially at rutting time.
You know, though, but we're a very hypocritical society in a lot of ways. You know,
not me.
Well, but it's a funny thing because we can be criticizing how somebody's acting, and in the same breath, we're criticizing what they're doing, but we're criticizing. You know, we're criticizing them for criticizing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big circle.
Who are we criticizing?
Well, I'm saying if we're, you know, allocating a lot of this to young males, which I'm not saying that's not true.
Well, I think it can be proven.
Right. But we're saying that, and then we wonder why that happens. And maybe they feel like they're always pegged for everything. I know males are treated differently than females, certainly when they're younger.
Yeah, and that always bothered me, too, that... Not sticks and stones. The thing about puppy dogs' tails and snails, the boys are always bad. And that always annoyed me as a young person. But I think it's probably coming from years of action. I do believe young males are much more aggressive than young females. And believe me, I've been attacked by young females, too. But I really think in a general situation, more males are aggressive and without thought.
You know what's interesting? This is a little bit off this subject, but it made me think of this.
Go for it.
Do you know how many people don't see themselves how... I'm not sure if they think this is how other people see them, but it's not. It's not. People think they are something when they're not.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to me.
Well, look at people when they go out on the town. All the guys that wear cowboy hats, they think they're cowboys. All the guys that strut around in really tight shirts and stuff like that, they think they're bodybuilders. People have an image of themselves and they want to project that.
But some people really reflect it. It's very bizarre. You know, I see a lot of pictures online. This is where it's a big thing. A lot of people start going, oh, isn't that great? Oh, you look so young. Oh, don't you look good? And the person starts to believe that. But that's not in reality what most people think. A lot of people are turning their head going, what?
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
And most people who get on there and put those really glamour shots on, I always look, oh, look at the lines under her eyes. I always see the negative when they're trying too hard. Don't try so hard. Many of the people that I know on Facebook that have nice pictures on Facebook, I just like them because I like their smile. I like how sweet they look. I love them when they're showing the pictures of their kids and stuff like that. You're working too hard if you have to do those glamour. And there was a thing on Facebook 2 days ago where they had a picture of some very famous, and I don't remember who it was, very famous actress with makeup and one without makeup. And she looked just like everybody else walking downtown in Marion without makeup.
I've seen the reality of people many times, and what people will do to get themselves all glammed up. You know, they'll put on the fake tan and they'll put on the, you know, the
eyelashes and
dye their hair a different color and do all these things. put on a dress that they would never wear during the day, and they snap the picture. Yep. Right then, and then you see them in the morning when they haven't straightened their hair.
They got a hangover or something.
Well, and they look completely different.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the real person.
The neatest thing about my wife is that she does not wear makeup. I've loved her all my life, and that was one of the reasons. Because I know what I'm getting. And it's
well, some people wonderful. Though some people really don't look any different with makeup and makeup. I think they wear it because maybe they were taught when they were younger to wear it. It's not the big glam job that some people are putting on.
Well, and my wife does put on lipstick, a slight amount of lipstick when we go out, and she does brush her hair. You don't want to go out and be a pig, but you don't have to. You know, there are people that spend thousands of dollars on the crap that they put on their bodies to make themselves look good.
The orange tan or the brown tan is funny to me because you can spot it a mile away. If you're living in Ohio and one person swears to me that they don't use tan,
and you know it.
It's Ohio, Glenn. Yeah. It's Ohio in April. Who's got a tan?
Well, if you go to one of those tanning salons, you might.
Well, this is somebody, and this is somebody who I know uses Botox as well.
Yeah.
And I know. Did you hear that?
Yes.
What was that?
It was a mouse.
Was it?
No, it wasn't a mouse.
But they have Botox as well, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I know that that tan is not real. I know if you took a wet cloth and rubbed it, it would come off.
Well, you know that you mentioned the Botox. Have you watched the Botox ad? They're all beautiful young ladies. They're actresses, and they're absolutely gorgeous anyway. Why in the world do they need to freeze their face lines?
Yeah, but why do you have to fake? If you are fake tanning and you are Botoxing, what's wrong with saying that?
Oh, yeah, well, because they want you to think that I'm natural.
But we don't think that.
Of course we don't.
We know what you're doing, and we think you're a liar.
Now, I, to all of those of you who know, have seen my picture, I use a brush in color so that my hair has some brown in it as opposed to the white it would normally be. Well, it's not totally white yet, but I do that, but I do it for myself. I really, truly do it for myself. I'm not figuring I'm going to get lucky with anybody because I got...
Well, but is that always the reason? You know, somebody told me one time, and I can't remember if they said their grandmother said it or somebody said it, but they said you always need to look your best when you go out in public.
I agree with that.
Okay, but what is that? Who's that for? That's not for you because you're doing it.
You don't want to
for the public.
Yeah, but you don't want to offend people when you go out. Now, you see these young ladies that weigh 385 pounds and they're wearing really tight short shorts, and you go, why in the world would they think that looks good?
But
well,
they
looks
think
good
that
to
is
themselves.
They think that is their best in public.
I guess I don't know.
It's interesting to me how people do their stuff and they think that it's not reality.
Okay, I know we only have a few seconds. I've worn Speedos before. I will never do that again.
You can save that picture. Save that.
You'll never see it.
Away. Now, we've got a progressive life coming up. Oh, I wonder if Dr. Feynman's ever wore a Speedo.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, open up with that. I'm sure there'll be. Progressive life coming up 12:15 to 1 p.m. today. And then we have, Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 10 to 5 p.m. Great show.
I'm going to try and listen a little more today.
To a little. And then the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, which is always great from 6 until 7 on this station. Stay tuned. 15 minutes of Progressive Life will be on.
Blow up your act. Don't blow up my act. I really don't have an act.
Well, Porky, I can't sign off this program with you here. Before we close out, where did your famous saying come from and then give it to us?
Oh, it's how they asked me to end the cartoon. That's it. It was that simple. And I just walked up to the mic and I said, that's all, folks.
Bob, you are a pleasure. You are a... But so much was made, and I don't know why. During the first Jim Tressel press conference, when all that hubbub was going on, you made the comment that somebody asked you if you were going to fire him, and you said he hoped he doesn't fire you. Do you wish you hadn't said that? It got so much play.
You know what I think, actually?